At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him before the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 112th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. I haven't got the number wrong in quite some time. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello. Well, that's because, you know, you're not actually recording a podcast about a shitty cartoon. I mean, you know.
Numbers matter all of a sudden. Are you ready to return to Eternia, sir?
Of course.
All right, well, in this mass... There we go. I jinxed myself. In this episode of Masters of Grayskull, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series, which are episode 13,
Night of the Shadow Beast, episode 14, Underworld, and episode 15, The Mystery of Anwar Garth.
Thanks for doing that in stereo. Well, that's what I get for doing 20 scripts at the same time.
Yeah, not that we really, you know, give this out to people, but I'm like, I have like 17 Skype messages, script.
I'm trying to blow you up.
And I'm wait a second here. Didn't you see that message where I said, send it to me in email?
Nah, Skype. So anyways, today it's Night of the Shadow Beast, Underworld, and The Mystery of Anwar Garth. I got it right that time, just in case there's any confusion. So we hope that you're ready, because I think we're finally ready. Time to go back to Eternia.
Are you sure?
Positive.
This had better be good, Beast Man. I was in the middle of planning my next assault upon Castle Grayskull.
Oh, it's real good. See for yourself.
What I see is nothing, you mangy moron. What is it?
It's called the Shadow Beast.
With an army of these, I could easily take Grayskull.
First up today is episode 13, Night of the Shadow Beast, one day before my birthday, November 22nd, 2002. Written by Michael Reeves. We've seen him in a few other shows that we've done. Mm-hmm. Beastman introduces Skeletor to the Shadow Beast, large, powerful creatures that can attack at night in vast numbers, and unleashes them on the palace and the masters. Mike, what did you think of this Shadow Beast episode?
This is awesome. I mean, an entire episode done at night, or at least in the envelope of being at night. Skeletor's plan to blot out the sun. Very, very cool. Absolutely love it. Again, introducing a new kind of sub-character, or seeing a subspecies or a secondary species on the planet that we might not have known about before. And that's the thing with these episodes this week and the episodes that we'll be doing in the next podcast episode, they introduce so much stuff, and it's so cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, I guess, that they're relating this episode in a way to kids being scared of the dark.
Yep.
Or just anybody being scared of the dark.
Yep.
That's all I got for good things.
Well, there is one really good thing. Only what seems like to be a half second of Orko on screen. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Skeletor's Nighty Nighty, Don't Let the Shadow Beast Bite. Nighty Night, Don't Let the Shadow... That was funny. I thought that was hilarious.
I forgot one thing.
What's that?
Up close, the Shadow Beasts look crazy good.
Yeah, they do. Using Shadow Beasts to attack the palace and the castle was very cool. It shows that Skeletor really is willing to try and do anything he can to conquer Eternia.
Yep.
The interesting thing here, though, is, like, he didn't... Up to this point, he's always said, I want Grayskull, I want the Elder's power. He hasn't really gone after the palace before. Like, they've attacked the palace, but he hasn't actively used a lot of force to go after the palace. The palace isn't where the power is.
That's true. Very true. So I got some negative stuff.
Okay, well, hang on one second. You said earlier about the focus on Ram Man and fear being afraid of the dark, and, you know, hey, this is, you know, a updated version of the Nickelodeon show. Are you afraid of the dark, Ram Man?
Yes, he is.
I was until I wasn't. At this point in my life, when I was younger, I was at times, like, very scared of the dark. As I've said many times in many episodes of this podcast and other podcasts in the last 10 and a half, almost 11 years of my podcasting, my mom and I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries at night all the time. And as much as I love Robert Stack, may the man rest in peace and all of that, Ultra Magnus is fucking creepy when you watch Unsolved Mysteries at night in the dark. Whereas now as an adult, yes, that still creeps me out, but I actually prefer darkness over daylight most times because I have light sensitivity stuff with my eyes now. So
if I go outside and it's bright sun, I sneeze instantly.
You need to have Amanda capture that on video.
But basically, I don't know if I was necessarily afraid of the dark as a child, but I was afraid of my room specifically in the dark. And note to any parents out there, be careful of this, because what had happened was is my bedroom door, which when I was a kid had to stay open for safety, security, whatever. Parents wanted all the doors to be open. As most doors do, it had at least, well, maybe not most doors, but my bedroom door had hooks on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was, I don't know if it was like sweatshirts or jackets or whatever, some type of clothing were hanging on those hooks basically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turned my light off, but then the adults, you know, maybe they had the hall light on or a different room down the hall or something like that. So there was still light in the house, and it would perfectly cast a shadow against my wall behind my door, and it looked perfectly like a witch's hat. And it used to freak the hell out of me. Basically, I had to like shut the light off and then like jump into bed real quickly so that the witch behind my door didn't get me. I was afraid of that, which
it
I guess was a shadow
it was witch
beast.
Hazel.
Yeah, basically. That's why I said I think it was cool to relate this to that, because I think a lot of kids do have different times where they're, I mean, being in the dark is, I guess, inherently scary because you can't see.
Right.
So if you're trying to walk or trying to do something, you're going to run into stuff and that type of thing, or something. Somebody could more easily sneak up on you. So I guess it's not like unfounded. It's not just a kid thing. But I guess my problem with this episode is they turned the entire episode into a PSA. Like, it wasn't just an episode that had this theme. Like, they even stop at the midway point. Almost pause the episode to explain about him being afraid of the dark, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I like it a little bit better when it's just more subtle. They might do something at the end that says, hey, this episode was about this and we're going to explain it to you, but it was a little too like over the head beating me with it on this episode. And My other complaint was, although the Shadow Beast looked really crazy and cool up close, when they do the wide shots of the palace,
yeah,
that looks damn silly.
Yeah, honestly, the palace at times looks damn silly. Not just in this episode, but
they were like allowing those things to move way too quickly and with way too little of detail that it just looked silly. It looked like not professional almost. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. This episode kind of drained on me a little bit because of the whole PSA feel that I just couldn't get away from throughout the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, I had some cool elements. I just think in execution it was a little heavy-handed for me. What did you give this one for rating?
This one's 3.5.
Okay.
It's not full middle ground, but it's not... Like, yes, I love the story parts with Ram Man and why he, you know, that kind of thing, even though it kind of interrupts the flow of the thing. I love that the, like we said, the Shadow Beasts and Skeletor using different things, but at the same time, it doesn't really advance. Like, if this had been a full-on character spotlight on Ram Man where it, like, showed him as a little ram or whatever it is, you know, furthering that character story like so many of the other episodes have, like when we've been introduced to the new characters and things like that, that would have been maybe a little bit higher, but it's set at 3.5 for me.
All right. Maybe one of the lower ratings I've given so far, but I'm down to a 2.5. Mm-hmm. Just like I said, it wasn't entertaining to me because I just felt like I was being taught the whole time about being afraid of the dark, and I needed something else with that. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll venture into the underworld.
Not on my watch.
Your Highness, I think it would be best if you return to the palace and let me handle...
No, Duncan. I made a pledge to defend Eternia from the forces of evil, and I mean to honor my word with my own blood if necessary.
Go, Dad.
Next up today is episode 14, Underworld, aired date December 13th, 2002, written by Stephen Melching. With the peace talks between the Spileans and the Caligars having broken down, King Randor, Prince Adam, and Man-at-Arms journey to Subternia to help them reach a settlement. I like that, Subternia.
Yeah.
It's a clever play on that. So we get introduced to a new side of Eternia that we've never seen before, really, the Underworld, and some new species. What did you think of that?
I thought it was really, really cool, and for a half of a second, I recognized one of the voices.
Hmm.
It's the former Skeletor.
Yep.
And was this the episode that also had... No, that's the... No, it... Yeah, it is this one. It had Richard Newman too. What's his name? The Spileans leader,
Lord
Dactus, is voiced by Rhinox from Beast Wars.
Yes, he is. Yep. Campbell Lane's not in this episode though.
He's in the next one.
Yeah, he comes in. This one was the Richard Newman one.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's definitely in this. And then you also have Gary Chalk. Not Gary Chalk. Gary Chalk is one of the underground warriors. He doesn't get a name. And then Brian Dobson is the other main bad guy.
Yep.
So Brian Dobson and Peter Newman. This is the start of a stretch that I'm going to sound like a fanboy here for a while, because these episodes get real good and they stay real good for a little while.
Yeah,
so,
they do. Oh, I absolutely love them, yeah.
Yeah, so I like the idea of going down here. I like the idea of the fact that there's... the factions that used to be together that fought us alongside King Randor, and then since for some reason or another they've had this, you know, this feud, this tension behind them, and now we're gonna get to see if Randor can, you know, piece it back together, and then how Skeletor is gonna play into it, etc. Also interesting because it gives you an idea of where Whiplash came from.
Yeah, it doesn't give you an origin for him, but it gives him where he came from. Yeah.
Right, so you see where his people are. You see that he's somehow a traitor. They don't really define exactly what he did to kind of get booted out, other than, I guess, siding with Skeletor. But it's interesting that you kind of get to see the seeds of where he came from. So,
The other thing is, with this episode, is Adam. and his teenage deals that he's got going on. He doesn't see his father I understand Randor is now the king. He's no longer just a soldier. He is the king. He is royalty. They made him royalty, and that's all well, good, and fine. However, did you notice when, Adam tries to call him dad, and they go, and then he changes it and says father. You don't have to be that proper with your dad. Not all the time, anyway. But basically, this episode shows not only us, because we already knew, but shows Adam that, hey, his dad was a warrior. His dad is a warrior king, essentially.
Yeah, for sure. This is the first time that we've seen that he's got to see that. Saw it a little bit in one of the episodes, but he hadn't necessarily saw that. So, yeah, a lot of good things to like on this episode. I'm just going to go down bullet by bullet so I don't forget anything. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny that, in the beginning, Skeletor has a line that's like, surprisingly good idea from you, Whiplash. As far as him being normally not the brightest in the batch, but he has a good idea. And I think it is a good idea. It's a good idea for the evil warriors. It's a good idea for just the plot in general from Stephen Milching. I like the idea of the subterranean world. The plot makes sense. So all that's good. We get some development with Whiplash. Dactus and his people look cool. As do the other species. I think this series does a good job with most of the different animals and beasts and species and stuff like that of making them look cool. I like the other part when he comes in. I can't remember who says this now. They say, allow me to offer a second opinion.
That would be He-Man? That might have been Skeletor.
It was one of the two.
Yeah.
Also, we got to see a pretty cool thing with Skeletor with his two swords.
Yeah.
At one point, he's handling two swords against Randor, which that was cool. And again, like you mentioned, cool seeing Skeletor versus Randor again. Also, with the subplot of Adam getting to see it was interesting. He-Man's entrance was cool.
Yeah, it was.
When he's on the other side of the thing, when it opens, the brick or the wall, the rock face, basically. So that was all good. Man, I'm saying cool a lot, but I mean, that's just what this episode was. It wasn't heavy into the mythology or the origins as much as maybe I would like, but it's fine because the story, the characters, the action is good enough to not really make me care too much about it. So, I mean, overall, great episode. I had some trivia for you guys. Obviously, the Maddie Collector line was doing a good job of picking out some of these characters. So you have Lord Dactus and Cerytus. Both were made into figures in 2013 and 2015. So you can seek those out if you want to. We already talked about this being the first time Adam witnesses his father fight Skeletor. And, of course, through the story, they've created another way to get to Grayskull. So it's not just always going through and trying to get to the front door, the drawbridge, etc.
That scene was, oh my, that scene was not necessarily copy for copy, line by line, not the actual what is said, but the animation. That is basically the Diamond of Disappearance, the very first episode of Filmation where He-Man is just there in the castle and Skeletor gets spooked. This did that again.
Right.
In a different way. It didn't do it the exact same way, but because obviously He-Man went through Grayskull the normal way and ended up down in the Subternia entrance. But again, as you said, showing that there is a different entrance to Castle Grayskull, there would be, I would think, at some point. They have to have some sort of evacuation plan. The Attorney and Fire Department might not like if they don't. But it's one of those things where very, very cool. As soon as the jawbridge, whatever, opened and, there's He-Man right there, Skeletor's like, how did he get down here?
And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure that we do get to see the Kalagars again later on in the series.
I am pretty sure,
So we'll get to see them again, which is going to add to some continuity. So I'm pretty high on this one. I was only at a 2.5 on the last episode. This episode, I'm all the way up to a 4.5. I mean, this is damn near perfect for me.
Yeah, I'm at a 4.
All right. So loved it. Very positive ratings for this episode. And guys, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but it's going to remain positive at least for a little while. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and discover what is the mystery of Anwa'gar.
It began in the ocean of Narl. first. I thought I was envisioning the birth of some new creature. But then, I could see what it was. Skeletor. Eternia into a new age of darkness.
Last up today is episode 15, The Mystery of Anwadgar, air date December 20th, 2002, written by Kevin Campbell. Not familiar with him. After receiving a distressing vision, the sorcerer sends Prince Adam and Man-at-Arms to the small island of Anwadgar to retrieve the Legacy Stones, which are ancient artifacts of great power that are believed to still exist. Of course, also interested in these powerful Legacy Stones would be Skeletor. So what did you think of Anwadgar and where it takes us and who it takes us to?
I thought it was very interesting. Going back and watching it now for the podcast, not just to watch it, I remember when the Cyclone action figure was revealed, and it was like super, super cool. Because again, you're talking about the Masters Classics line from Mattel. This isn't your old, it isn't, you know, our original He-Man. It isn't the 2002 stuff, because there was a 2002 line that I don't think did that well, but putting it in the classics, and I'm like, oh yeah, Cyclone, it's nice to see him again. Very, very cool. I love that they approach this whole thing as a mystery. I love that neither one of them kind of knows, He-Man and Skeletor knows exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I do love the fact that, and this is in your trivia here, in the story, the Legacy Stones, which give them armor, what I'll say about it is that, look at the cartoon we just reviewed, the series we reviewed right before this, and Skeletor had three different looks for no apparent reason. Obviously, that was because of action figures or something. If you're going to do something like that to change to fit the action figure releases, make it a story point. And they do here. It makes sense.
Right.
It does.
And it looks badass.
And it looks badass. Like, you know, but yeah, no, I mean, this was super fun episode.
Yeah, apparently also, same with the toys. So obviously there was a Samurai He-Man and Samurai Skeletor in 2003. That's somewhat what this outfits are based off of. Also, the Classics line in 2008 apparently elaborated on the history of Anwadgar and its people, which are called the Gars. It was revealed that all blue-skinned characters from Masters of the Universe, such as Keldor, Skeletor, Cyclone, Shakoti, and they're all members of this species. So I don't know what else we know about that species, but that's interesting. And obviously it's a play on Angkor Wat, a temple in Cambodia. Yeah. But this is a cool way to introduce another one of our masters. Obviously Cyclone is the one that we're talking about. And he is such a badass. Like, he is, to me, in this series, the equivalent of, and I'm not talking about anything that hasn't been, we haven't reviewed yet. Just looking back on what we already have reviewed, he is like the equivalent of what we got from Zodak in the Filmation series. To me, like, he's just kind of this mysterious, powerful, more than meets the eye type character. So I enjoyed him. I always spell Cyclone wrong in my head. It's S-Y-C-L-O-N-E, instead of C, not like the actual weather phenomenon.
Yeah. See, I always spell, I've spelt it with a C.
Yeah. It's apparently, according to all the credits, it's always S. Yeah, this episode is really cool. Everything about it is just kind of like more badass with the visuals.
Yep.
What and, did you keep going?
Well, I thought that I thought Skeletor was eventually going to get off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then He-Man gets the stone from Beastman and goes after him, and I'm like, oh, we're going to see these armor suits in front of Grayskull. No, it's not a bad thing that we don't. I just thought we were, because the way that they say, oh, Skeletor is so far ahead, he's going to Grayskull. Obviously, He-Man stops him before he can even get off the island. What I do know again, from the comics from DC in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years now, the Gar people are a part of the, you know, the mythos and the
right.
mythology and all that and everything else in the backstory. And as you said, you know, already Skeletor is one. Because they actually, in the comic that A.D.S. Baron and I were reviewing, they actually give you, like, how Skeletor's birth happens and how he is, you know, a brother or half-brother or whatever kind of brother to Randor in the comics that I was reading at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say enough, folks. Go read the DC comic stuff that has been, you know, that was put out back in 2012, 2013. It's as good as this.
Another interesting thing that I like about this episode is that they kind of show, because Cyclone is not on one side or the other through most of the episode. He's kind of his own independent individual with his own duty. And I like how they've been introducing characters and they're not just automatically good or automatically bad. They're deciding on their own through the events that we get to see as to what side they're going to be on. So that was kind of cool seeing him even conflict with He-Man a little bit as far as what to do, what not to do. Obviously, at the end of the episode, He-Man's destroying the stones because they're too powerful and too dangerous. And Cyclone doesn't want that because he's been sworn to protect them, and then he basically has nowhere to go, so they invite him to be one of the masters, basically. So definitely cool on that. Any sword staffs or ratings?
Sword staffs and ratings for Cyclone, He-Man, Skeletor, and Man-at-Arms. Rating would be 4 out of 5.
All right, I give a power sword to the Cyclone as well, and I'm right there between 4 and 4.5, so I guess I'll stick with you and say 4, but it's a good episode, and definitely one of the things that this series did really well as far as introducing new characters. So,
absolutely.
That's it for this week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike's going to get us out of here.
Oh, well, we all have bad dreams.
This was not a dream. It was a vision.
And its meaning?
I believe Skeletor has learned of the secret of Anwat Gar.
So, who's Anwat Gar?
Not a who, a what. An island, once said to be home to the Legacy Stones.
Ancient artifacts of great power. The Legacy Stones are believed to still be hidden in the Citadel at Anwat Gar.
Adam, we should...
I'm way ahead of you.
I have the power!
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the Geekcast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. Decian.com. And for the new Decian podcast, go to Patreon.com/Decian.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
You took my face, Randor. Today I take your life, and then your kingdom!
We are back here on the Masters of Grayskull section of the Powers of Grayskull series podcast on Geekcast Radio Network. Thank you for listening to us as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other posts, podcasts, written stuff, all that good stuff. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. Follow us on Twitter, at geekcastradio is the network Twitter. You can also follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. I am at TF2andMike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook by going to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which are The Monster Within, Roboto's Gambit, and Trust. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we have the power.
It's over, Skeletor.
Never.